When was the last time you held one of these? The Etch-a-Sketch. It came to market in 1959, and it can do some amazing things. It can draw a picture so fast. It draws the picture of a man that is so beautiful, along with his coat and his suit and everything else. It can make pictures that are extraordinary. And after hours and hours of playing with it and making these amazing pictures, then all you have to do is shake it up and everything is gone. You can begin again. And this is the gift that is given to us as followers of Christ. But it doesn't have to do with an Etch-a-Sketch. It doesn't have to do with an Etch-a-Sketch, because the art of the do-over, the art of the do-over in our understanding, in our theological understanding, is because of God's grace and mercy. We have, even better than the Etch-a-Sketch, the ability to begin again, because God's grace is that blessing of receiving what you need. And mercy is the blessing of God's grace of not receiving what you have earned. That's grace and mercy. God blesses us with that which we've not earned. And God's mercy forestalls. Jesus steps in the way and stops us from receiving the penalty that we would. God's grace, mercy is better than any Etch-a-Sketch. And no matter who you are, that grace and that mercy, that do-over, we will need in our lives. No matter who you are, no matter how well you live, image of the Etch-a-Sketch is real. God's grace and mercy is real, because we need do-overs in our lives. And I mean everybody. Did you hear what Michael read this morning? Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, he is working hard. He's traveling throughout Galilee and Capernaum. He is healing the sick. He is raising the dead. He's lifting up those who are on the bottom of the hierarchy. He's challenging those who are on the top. He is speaking power and speaking truth, and it is beginning to unsettle those around him. And in fact, one day in the second chapter of Mark, there are these friends who have a paralyzed buddy, and they cannot get to Jesus because the house is so full. And so what do? They dig a hole in the roof and they let their friend down in front of Jesus. Jesus looks up, and the text is clear. He sees the faith of the friends, and he says to the man let down before him, "Son, thy sins are forgiven." And at that point, the Pharisees are really mad. Who is this itinerant man? Who is this Jesus from a family of no power and no account? Who is this who has never been trained by the Pharisees and leaders? Who is this who dare say he can forgive sins? And Jesus looks at him and says, "You think that was something? Watch this. Rise, take up your mat and walk." He speaks to the paralyzed man, and now he is leaping and running and no longer confined to that mat. And the Pharisees decide now that they're going to kill him. The Pharisees decide now that Jesus is too dangerous and he has to be taken off the scene. He goes back home. He gets out of that part of the land and goes back home. But the word has spread, and he is surrounded. He is surrounded by those who want access to his power, access to his truth. And the word is out that the Pharisees are out to get him. And Mary and his brothers show up. They break through the crowd. They send word to those who are around Jesus. "We need you to help us get him, because he's lost his last ounce of mind." Mary, the one who bore him. Mary, the one to whom the angel said, "Blessed art thou among women. Mary, the one who has seen his miracles, who knew as a child, because Simeon and Anna told her, this is the one who is the destined for the rising and the falling of many. This is the one who will even pierce your heart. Mary had heard all of these things, but she had forgotten them, and even she needed a do-over. On this Mother's Day, I don't know anybody who needs do-overs more than moms. Andre's firstborn child is sitting here, my daughter, my stepdaughter, and we have so many stories about do-overs. I will tell none of them, Tiffany, I promise. There's not a mom in here who cannot recall a moment when they wish they had done something differently. There's not a mom in here who, like Mary, looked at your child at some point and said, you've lost your last ounce of mine. But this do-over is what God specializes in. David needed a do-over. Remember that Bathsheba thing? Took Uriah and Uriah's life and Uriah's wife. David, who knew better. David, who had heard God's voice. David, who had been chosen by God. David, who had been established by God. David made a mistake and in the 51st Psalm had to cry out, God, blot out my transgressions. Forgive my sin, for it is ever before you. Against you, God, have I sinned. David, the man after own God's heart. David, the shepherd king of Israel. David needed a do-over. And it's not just ancient times. Do you know whose picture this is? His name is Chuck Colson. He's one of the hatchet men in the Watergate era. Greed, anger, power. Was convicted of many crimes, spent time in federal pen from the White House to the big house, Chuck Colson. But when he got out, something changed in his life. He founded something called International Fellowship Prison, which sends millions of dollars and people to visit those who are in jail, who are without the ability to get to their family or help their family. Chuck Colson, who just had done hateful and heinous things, somehow while he was in prison, got the notion that he needed a do-over. And the do-over changed his life. In our nation, as we look at our leaders now, there's a need for a do-over. We need in our leadership for a different kind of kindness, a different kind of willingness to serve, a different kind of humility. We need a do-over. And beloved of God, it's true for you and me. So if we look in the mirror, it is not uncommon to see those things in us that we wish we could do over. In fact, the word of God that comes to us from the letter of John says, if you say you haven't lied, if you say you haven't sinned, then you tell yourself a falsehood. God's word to us from Paul's letter to Rome says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in this place needs to practice do-overs. But there is good news. For in this same letter of John, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. It's better than the Etch-a-Sketch. No matter what is in our lives, no matter what rises up that we wished we hadn't done, no matter what rises up that keeps us up at night, no matter what we've done that we hope no one else ever finds out about, no matter what we've done that may cause guilt or shame, this is the truth of the God who loves us. The Lord is compassionate and slow to anger, abounding in love. The good news today is that the character of God is that God is compassionate. The good news today is that the character of God is that God is gracious. The good news is that God's love, not God's anger, not God's judgment, not God's punitive side. The good news is that God's love is what abounds. when I come before the living God with the sense that we have a do-over, this is the nature of God that we meet. He will not always accuse, Michael read from the 103rd Psalms. He will not always keep a record, but instead, as far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions. You can draw any picture on this sketch that you want and erase it. But no, as far as east is from west, God has said to us, I've moved anything that you've done. I have gotten rid of anything that would separate us. I love you so much, I will let nothing separate you from my love. Here is the ultimate do-over. The good news starts in the Psalms, and it does say in the end of that psalm that he will remove the transgressions from those who fear him. But I want you to be really clear about this word fear. It's not the sort of quaking fear of a God who stands with thunderbolts trying to hit us. No. It's a fear that rises out of reverence. God, you are the God of all creation. God, you are the God of my every breath. God, you are the God of all that I can see. God, you are the God of all that I will never see. You are holy and you love me. That's the reverence. That's the fear. Transgressions as far as east from west, when we reverence God. That's good news. That the do-over does not predicate itself on a etch-a-sketch, but it on God's abundant love. And the good news does not stop in the Psalms, because it speaks to us out of that letter of John. When you heard Michael read that God is willing to set us right and clear us up from anything, all unrighteousness, it means that you and I are welcome to practice do-overs. But there are some things to do if we're going to practice do-overs. The first thing that we have to do if we're going to practice do-overs is to confess. Remember, I said earlier, confess means agree with God. That when something has come up in our lives, when we have engaged in an activity, or like Martin Luther says, we've sinned boldly, we confess. We agree with God that that thing that has been done is not like God. We agree with God that we've missed the mark that God has set for us. And remember always that that's the definition of sin, to miss the mark that God has set for us to be loving and kind and gracious and good. To practice do-overs, we first confess and we agree with God that this thing was not of you. And we do so with a sincere heart. Here is the gift of our God. I might look at your confession and say, yeah, that's once too many. I'm not buying it. Because I can't see your heart. But God knows our hearts. When we confess, when we agree with God about something that was not like God, when we do so from a sincere heart, just like David in that 51st Psalm says, God, you will not despise a contrite or a broken heart. You will not ignore a heart that comes to you confessing that what I've done is not good or like you. Practice do-overs, confess, agree with God. Practice do-overs, have a sincere heart, and then seek to change. Confess, but then try to do better the next time. Confess, but then learn from what has just occurred. Confess and have a sincere heart, but seek to shift your position. There's a member of this church. This person is not here today. But she looked at me in a Bible study not very long ago and said, I seem to come to God with the same issue over and over, tears in her eyes as she told this story. And from a heart that I believe was sincere, said, I'm trying, but I have fallen into this trap for so many decades. It's hard for me to get my feet unstuck. Do you believe God is tired of hearing from me? I will tell you, this person is beyond 80 years old. And I looked at this dear soul and said, the Word of God tells me that God forgives us 70 times, 7 times. And it's not 490. It's meant to say that God forgives whenever we come with confession and a sincere heart and a willingness to change. And then the last thing, if you're going to practice do-overs, you have to believe that you are worthy. The greatest trick of the enemy is to tell you that you're not worthy of forgiveness. The greatest trick of the enemy is to say you are stuck in that place and you cannot move yourself. The greatest trick of the enemy is to say you've made that mistake so many times, God doesn't want to hear your prayer or see your face. But beloved of God, the one who created you, one who gives you breath, says that I would trade all the world for you, says that I would die on an old rugged cross for you, says that I will come close, I'll be nearer you than breath in your body, says I've loved you with an everlasting love, says no one is able to pluck you out of my hand, says that you are my child, my name is written on you and my love in your heart. But you and I, in the midst of practicing do-overs, have to be willing, have to believe God loves us this much, that grace, that mercy, that the power of the etch-a-sketch to erase it all east from west is meant for you. Has your name written on God's hand? Beloved, we can practice do-overs every day of our lives because Jesus loves us. We sang this song as children. We learned the words before we knew how to read. It is deep in our being, but do we believe it? Jesus loves me. This no. The word no has actual connotations of a intimate sexual nature. To know is to be so close with the truth that there is no separation between it and you. It's why in the biblical text it says Eve knew Adam. It's that kind of no, where there is a joining so deep and so real, nothing can break it. Jesus loves me. This I know. That little blackboard I gave you is blank. It is because when you move through those steps, confession, sincere heart, really working to get better and believing your slate is clean. And the piece of chalk is because the world will seek to write on your slate every mistake and every error. It will seek to fill it and to make you think you are not worthy. But grace and mercy become the erasers. And this song, written in our hearts, becomes the truth. Oh God, we need to practice do-overs. For we have disappointed ourselves and you. But you are a God of ultimate grace and mercy. Remind us that our slates are made clean in you. Remind us that nothing that the world can write is stronger than your power of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy. And remind us that whenever we're worried about can we do another do-over, that we can sing with power this old hymn of the church. And remember how much you love us. Help us, God, practice do-overs every day of our lives. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.